Chapter 10. Lift Together. The day was done. They all sat, exhausted, against the wall of Jin's hut. Even the tireless Jin had started to falter towards the end, but now they sat together, hot and sweaty. Yunzhen and Gaozhen were down to their loincloths, slumped to the side and greedily drinking water. Mei Ling was stripped to the waist, with only her dudou preserving her modesty, and she groaned at the state of her sore fingers and rubbed at her aching back. Big D had been enlisted, carrying Mei Ling's completed bags to Jin and getting more stalks so that she could weave. But they were done. True to Jin's words, the last of the rice had been harvested at the end of the second day. It had been long hours and backbreaking work, but they had done it. 83 40-kilo bags of rice. An extraordinary number for the small amount of land Jin had put to the plow. Yunzhen sighed with contentment after he finished his drink, running his hands through his matted, sweaty hair before grinning at the vessel. It was a bamboo tube with a groove cut in it so that a lid could be screwed on. Mei Ling was having trouble opening hers, her red, overworked fingers shaking and slipping. Jin reached over and opened it for her.
"Brother Jin, this is quite the vessel. It's certainly easier to work with while out in the fields," he said, leaning over to hand the empty thing to Jin. Holding up a hand in refusal, Jin shook his head.
"Keep it, Brother Yunzhen. They're easy enough to make. I actually broke a couple gourds when I first started and spilled a lot of water. These are more durable and easier to clean."
Gaozhen moaned, pushing himself up into a seated position.
"Brother Jin, you worked us like oxen," he complained.
He looked with pride upon the many baskets.
"But to see the work done is always a pleasure."
"It is, isn't it?"
Jin asked with a soft smile. They sat in companionable silence, the cool breeze a balm upon their sweaty bodies, and the setting sun bathed the world in warm light. Eventually, Jin got up and stretched.
"Come on, let's get cleaned up, and then I'll start dinner.
We are having crayfish tonight." The river was still warm at this time of year, though fall was rapidly approaching with the occasional gust of cold wind. With the small bar of soap Jin had, the dirt and grime was easily washed from their bodies. Their exhaustion was telling. The normally quarrelsome brothers did not even try to dunk each other once, nor attempt to start any splash war. Instead, Yunzhen simply handed his brother a comb. Grumbling, Gaozhen dutifully brushed first his elder brother's hair and then Mei Ling's while Jin prepared them a meal. First, he dredged up the baskets along the river. Then Jin split the crayfish in two, removing its gut, and in his wok he added peppercorns and oil, as well as leek, ginger, and garlic. He fried the crayfish until they were red, then served it over rice. Big D dined on the leftover crayfish shells, picking at them with great enthusiasm. This time, everybody camped out in Jin's little house. It was cramped. They were squashed together and a bit uncomfortable, but the shoving and elbows were part of the fun. Mei Ling did not even offer a token attempt at subtlety, simply pulling Jin into the bed with her, much to the brother's amusement.
"Oh no, brother, we must act to preserve Brother Jin's purity,"
Yunzhen japed.
"No wonder Elder Hong sent us along. His daughter is a lusty beast."
Gaozhen snorted, looking at them with tired eyes.
"I think he's fine. She's already asleep."
Yunzhen barked out another laugh.
"Indeed,"
he said, and sat down. He'd seemed to be pondering something before finally making up his mind to ask.
"Brother Jin."
"Yes, Brother Yunzhen?"
"Take good care of our Mei Ling."
"Yeah?"
It was a voice of honest concern for a woman that may as well be his sister. Jin nodded and pulled Mei Ling closer to his body.
"To the best of my ability."
"Gaozhen, you lout, off!"
Mei Ling woke to the sounds of an annoyed Yunzhen, Gaozhen having rolled over onto him in the night. A common enough occurrence. Gaozhen was a grabby sleeper and a deep one. His brother, however, was an expert in removing him, shoving and prodding until he rolled over on his own. It was still the early hours of the morning, and the sky was dark, the sun just now starting to peek up over the hills. Mei Ling sat up and yawned, stretching to get the kinks out of her back, but there were none. In fact, She felt great, despite the work she had done. Her muscles were still sore, yet there was none of the outright pain that she'd been expecting. Even her raw fingers felt mostly fine, the swelling having gone down a lot from yesterday. Jin was still asleep beside her, as was Gojen, but Yunjin was already sitting up, looking annoyed at his brother. Mei Ling whispered a good morning to him and got a muttered greeting in return.
"Start the fire, and I'll get the eggs,"
she asked, and Yunjin nodded, stretching his muscles. He paused and then stretched his arm farther back. He seemed a bit surprised as he tested the range of motion, but pleased. He hopped up and didn't even stagger as he went to grab the wood while Mei Ling went to the coops. On the way out of the house, she noticed Bidi, the spirit beast, on one of the fence posts. He turned to her in the light of the pre-dawn and bowed. Mei Ling returned the greeting. The chicken nodded, satisfied, then, to her surprise, hopped onto her shoulder with a light step, like he did with Jin. He was lighter than she expected. Her hand came up and she stroked his magnificent chest feathers. She got approving clucking sounds in return, and a gentle beak started preening through her still bedraggled hair. Gathering the eggs was easy. Bidi simply squawked and the hens moved aside. There were a lot of eggs, more than the village chickens laid at least, and a bit bigger too. They looked like the same breed, though. That would be a question for later. Yunjin had the fire started when she got back, the wood spluttering alight as the first light of dawn creased the horizon. Bidi leapt from Mei Ling's shoulder back onto the fence posts. He eyed the sun critically, waiting and filling his chest with a deep breath. Bidi greeted the morning, his voice echoing out over the hills and waking their host. Jin thanked them both as they cooked breakfast, and then he went off to start loading his cart for the trip back to Hongyao. For breakfast was eggs and leftover rice, shared in good company. Mei Ling held on for dear life as the cart careened down the road. Beside her, Yunjin prayed,
"Honored ancestors, preserve your unworthy son, for he is a fool of great proportions."
Gao Zhen, naturally, was howling with laughter at their predicament. After breakfast, they had loaded the cart with a full 40 bags of rice and strapped them down. The cart was most certainly overloaded, the frame bending but not breaking under the immense weight. Gojen had praised the craftsmanship, but Mei Ling noticed the truth. It had Jin's chi in it. Without it, it would have surely shattered into pieces, and even with it, it was a bit suspect looking. They were ready to go back home. Jin had bid goodbye to his spirit beast, who bowed low to him in supplication and took up his vigil on the farm's fence. The Song brothers had looked worried about the load and had been gauging how they could help push it when Jin lifted the front of the cart with ease. Then, without a hint of effort, began to walk with it like he wasn't carrying anything at all. They had looked at each other and shrugged. The pace they'd taken had been pleasant and the weather mild as they set off, traveling until it was almost noon.
"Tomorrow evening, I reckon," Gojen had said, looking up at the sky. "Maybe a bit longer. My legs are still sore."
Mei Ling had agreed. The pain was coming back, though it still wasn't that bad. Jin had gestured to the cart.
"Hop on. I'll get us there by tonight."
It was quite rude to sit and have Jin cart them around like he was their lesser, but he was insistent. So they had gotten onto the cart on top of the bags, and Jin bid them to hold on tight. And then he started running. Not just running, but what felt like sprinting. Which brought them to this point, hanging onto a cart of rice for dear life while Jin ran as fast as a horse.
"Brother Jin, can you go any faster?"
Gojen asked excitedly.
"Don't you dare, Jin,"
Mei Ling screeched, too preoccupied with holding on to slap the idiot for his idea. Yunjin just kept praying. Jin was right. They reached Hongyao by nightfall. Mei Ling and Yunjin were pale, while Gojen wanted to hook up the hogs to a wagon to recreate the experience. One of the scout searchers had returned, slinking into the nest warren. It stunk, smelled of joy musk, the scent permeating through the gathered bodies.
"Yes, yes, we have scent smelled it. The fine good chi and tasty delicious food,"
the scout searcher squeaked. Its eyes were alight with the Lord Master's power, enabling it to give its report. Lord Master was intrigued. These lands were bad poor. They had been defeated, crushed, and driven out of their first original nest warrens in the lands of much plenty. Many, many of their number count had perished, and they were all that were left remained. To find locate a new place of chi, they would need it to grow restore their numbers.
Good, good. Find locate the land's guardian and seek know its might strength. Yes, yes, Lord Master, I hear and obey.
The servant scurried off, its eyes dulling slightly as it left the Lord Master's presence. The Lord Master nodded and turned to one of its other servants.
We crouse the nest warren. We go move tonight.